We see the first samadhi here is Srinivasacharya. And by his side is his very, very intimate and dear disciple, Ramachandra Kaviraj Goswami. And then the small one to the far side is the samadhi of his daughter, Hemlata Thakurani, who is a very famous, very learned Sanskrit teacher and acharya in Bengal after her father's time. Ramachandra Kaviraj was very, very an interesting personality also. He was born in Sri Kanda, which is a very potent Sripat, or a place where many exalted Vaishnavas took their birth. And he had a brother whose name was Govindadas Kaviraj. So Ramachandra Kaviraj apparently was so beautiful that nobody, when they would see him, they couldn't imagine that perhaps he was a deity, perhaps he was the demigod, perhaps he was some kind of a personified, exalted personality. They couldn't understand how beautiful he was. So Srinivasacharya was, I don't know the location of the story, but Srinivasacharya saw Ramachandra Kaviraj passing by on the road in his marriage, the carriage, after he had been married, along with his bride. And when Srinivasacharya saw Ramachandra Kaviraj, it is said that he recognized that he was his eternal dear associate, that they were of an equal caliber in terms of their realization of bhakti. So when he saw him, he pointed to him and he said to his other followers, "How wonderful it is that a man can take a snake and place it around his neck like a noose and hang himself." And when Ramachandra Kaviraj heard these words from this personality whom he too was immediately attracted to, he got down from the carriage and he came back and he bowed down to Srinivasacharya and asked him, "What did you mean by what you said?" So then Srinivasacharya spoke very cutting words to Ramachandra Kaviraj to release him from his bondage of attachment to family life. And Ramachandra Kaviraj from that time immediately became closely associated with Srinivasacharya, and later became initiated and traveled with him widely. And sometimes in Bhakti Ratnakara it describes when Ramachandra Kaviraj came to Vrindavan, all the residents of Vrindavan became completely satisfied just to see his beauty. And they could understand that he was such an elevated soul just by the effulgence of his beautiful golden complexion. So his brother Govinda Kaviraj was, I think, even perhaps his older brother, I'm not sure. But his brother remained in family, worldly life quite a long time after Ramachandra Kaviraj had renounced such things. And later, under the guidance of Janava Mata, Govinda Das became also a Vaishnava. They were born in a Shakta family. So then Govinda Das, he traveled with Janava Mata and her party when they would travel around Bengal. And also they came more than once or twice here to Vrindavan. And it was in Vrindavan that Govinda Das, the brother of Ramachandra, sang some of his bhajans that he had composed. And when the Vaishnava assembly heard them, they gave him also the title of Kaviraj for the beauty of his songs. So Srila Jiva Goswami, who was the head at that time of the Vaishnava Sangha in Vrindavan, very much noticed the glories of Ramachandra Kaviraj and his brother Govinda. So there's a story which I read in Mahanidhi Swami's Samadhi book, which is, I don't know if it's a historically reliable fact, but he noted that some people believe that the Samadhi, the Bhajan Kutir at Radha Damodar, that they say is the Bhajan Kutir of Srila Rupa Goswami, was initially the Samadhi of Srinivasacharya. This is some people say this. And when Hemlata Thakurani came here after a long time, later after Ramachandra Kaviraj had left this world, she understood from her own meditation that her father would prefer to be placed in Samadhi by the side of his dear disciple Ramachandra Kaviraj. So it is said that she moved that Samadhi from Radha Damodar and placed it here. At this place is known as Dhira Samir, this whole area. So he was placed here. And then she herself also, her samadhi was, Pushpa Samadhi I think is here. So these places are full of all kinds of wonderful history and wonderful association. And it's said when you come to a samadhi of a very elevated person, their presence is so dominant in that place, and they're very much capable of giving mercy, because that is what their reason for being in samadhi is, so that they can give their mercy to any conditioned soul who happens by extreme good fortune to come into their contact even hundreds and hundreds of years after they have apparently left this world. So we're very fortunate tonight to come here to this place. Just as sun is setting and the birds are chirping, and you're under this very nice neem tree, we can take after, if you can find or request the tree, to take one small leaf. And you can keep that and remember this place when you see it. You'll remember the story of Srinivasacharya and his wonderful example. So Uttam Bhakta now is going to sing for us. Janana Premadana, please? Or Sri Krishna Chaitanya? Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Koramurai. If those who haven't bought their books, I think we probably know it. And then we will sing also Jayanilo Premadana. Both of these songs were written by Narottam Das Thakur, having a mood of yearning for the association of Srinivasacharya and also his very dear, dear friend Ramachandra Kaviraj.
Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karamore Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Daya Karamore Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Toma Vena Ke Dayalu Jagat Sansare Toma vena ke dayalu jagat sansare Patita pavana hetu tavaya avatara 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 mama patita prabhu na paive yara Masama patita prabhu na paiveya Masama patita prabhu na paiveya Masamapatita Prabhu Abhayaya Hasurupityananda Premananda Sukhi Ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Ha Prabhu Kripavala kanakara ami bara duki Kripavala kanakara ami bara duki Kripavala kanakara ami bara duki Kripavala Dayakara sitapati Adaita Gosai Dayakara Sitapati Adaita Gosai Dayakara Sitapati Adaita Gosai Dayakara Bhole Pai Chaitanya Nita Tava Kripa Bhole Pai Chaitanya Nita Tava Kripa Bhole Pai Chaitanya Nita Tava Kripa Bhole Pai Chaitanya Nita Ha Sarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Ha Sarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Maha Sarup Sanatana Rupa Raghunatha Prabhu Lokonatha Bhatta Juga Sri Diva Prabhu Lokonatha Bhatta Juga Sri Diva Prabhu Lokonatha Dayakara Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivasa Dayakara Sri Acharya Prabhu Srinivasa Dayakara Sri Acharya
Babu Srinivasa Dayakara Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Dasa Ramachandra Sangamage Narottama Dasa Ramachandra Sangamage Narottam Dasa Rama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dayakara More Sri Krishna Chaitanya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dayakara More Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dayakara More Toma Vena Ke Dayalu Jagat Sankare Toma Vena Doyalo Jagat Sankare Toma Vena Kedayalo Jagat Sankare Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dayakara More Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dayakara More Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare.
Understanding the pastime of Srinivasacharya's advent, one has to first of all, as we were speaking yesterday about Narottam Das Thakur, one has to understand the time in which he appeared in order to actually grasp the depth of the particular mood that his particular example or pastimes portray. So it's described in the Bhakti Ratnakar that the father of Srinivasacharya, his name was Ganga Narayan, Ganga Bhattacharya. So he was living in Navadweep, very, very near to where Mahaprabhu was performing his Leela. He grew up there. So just imagine, he's living in a village not very far away from Navadweep Dham in Nadia. And he's heard from his childhood that Mahaprabhu Nimai Pandit lives in Navadweep and he's performing these Leela and he's very, very special. Perhaps he's an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, but he has his duties and he has his family responsibilities and his studies, so he doesn't go there, even though he's hearing and hearing. And one day he thinks, why should I not just go there and see? I'm so close, just a short, short distance away. So he decides to take darshan of Navadweep Dham. So he sets off, and on the way, he comes to a place called Katwa. And in Katwa, he has one friend, Bharati Maharaj. So he thinks, I'll go and visit Bharati Maharaj and stay the night with him, and then I'll go on to Navadweep and take darshan of Mahaprabhu and see these wonderful pastimes that are taking place there. So he goes to the house of Bharati Maharaj, and when he gets there, he finds that the whole house is full of people. The courtyard is full of people. All out in the street, there's so many people. And they're all agitated. They're all disturbed, as only Bengalis can be, when there's something happens, and a whole crowd of them. You can hear the noises going through. The ladies are all crying and disturbed, and a whole emotional state is there amongst all of the people. And nobody is sort of neutral and just passing by. Everyone is emotionally involved and everyone is disturbed. So he's quite curious what's happening here. So he makes his way through the crowd, and as he gets through, he sees there's one tree there. And under the tree, there's this one sannyasi is sitting, and this beautiful young man, about 24 years of age, with beautiful black curly hair down to his shoulders. And his eyes are like lotus petals that go straight back to his ears, and his eyelashes curl. And his eyes are lined with kajal. And his lips are like bimba fruit. And he's extraordinarily beautiful. And beside him on the other side is one Baba. And there are others, but they've already left, refusing to get involved in this affair. And this one Baba, on the order of this beautiful young man, is asked to shave his head, so that by shaving his head, he can accept an aesthetic, renounced order. And the sannyasi, which is Bharati Maharaj, Keshav Bharati, he is completely disturbed also. He doesn't want to take part in this. He says, you're so young. How will you retain these vows? You'll have some difficulty you shouldn't take. Wait, what about your family? Giving so many, he doesn't want to do it. But the boy is adamant, the young man. So he asks the Baba, shave my head. So the Baba, with great anxiety, he takes up his blade and he begins to shave the head of this beautiful, effulgent young man. And as his hair in clusters falls to the ground, the whole bunch of people start wailing and crying and moaning in great, great, great unhappiness. And this Brahman, he sees this, and he's watching this. And as he watches this, it penetrated through his eyes right to his heart, this particular incident. And he watches as all the hair gradually, gradually is shaved and falls to the ground. And he watches and watches and watches. And then, not knowing exactly what was taking place, he was listening and the sannyasi said, now your sannyas name is Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So when he heard this, Chaitanya, 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 he began to chant, Chaitanya, Chaitanya, Chaitanya. He didn't know what it was, he didn't know anything, but he became completely overwhelmed. And then the people told him, this is Nimai Pandit. He's taken sannyas, he's leaving Navadvip, he's going away. And then this Brahman also is completely overwhelmed with ecstatic emotion. And not knowing where he was going, whether he was going left or right, because now there was no need to go and take darshan. Because he had left Navadvip, everything was over. In great mood of separation, just seeing this one incident of the hair being shaved of the head of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, he wanders back to his village along the Ganga saying, Chaitanya, 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 and he can't say anything else. And he's quite mad. And he comes back to the village like that, and everybody sees him and says, what's happened to him? He's gone completely mad. And then they don't know, and one elderly man says, oh, I know. This is because he has seen the hair-cutting ceremony of Nimai Pandit, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has seen that, and it has made such a deep effect on his heart. So they decide to change his name from Gangadas to Chaitanya Das. And somehow when they all say, we will call you from now on Chaitanya Das, he becomes somewhat pacified by this. So after some time, Chaitanya Das and his wife, living in the village, they decide that they want to go to Jagannath Puri to take darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So they start off, and surprisingly to both of them, because they have been very renounced and living very simply and they're somewhat elderly, they had never had any interest in family life. But suddenly the desire appeared in the heart of Chaitanya Das that he should have a son. So he wanted to know if this was a correct desire or not, if this was the Lord's desire, or why was he feeling like this. So thinking upon this desire, he and his wife walked to Jagannath Puri. So on the way, some distance from Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Das in his humility began to feel that when I get to Jagannath Puri, the Lord will not accept me. I am so fallen. I am such an awful person. He will not give me his darshan. I will not get any mercy. Certainly I will not see him. So he became very much unhappy, and weeping that night he went to sleep. And in the dream that night, he saw that, first of all, he saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him as a sannyasi. And then he saw that the dream transformed into Lord Jagannath. Then he saw Radha and Krishna. And finally he saw Lord Chaitanya in his form as Gauranga with his beautiful curly locks leading Harinam Sankirtan in Navadvip Dham. And when he saw these different forms of the Lord, he was encouraged in his dream that he should proceed on to Jagannath Puri without any anxiety. All his wishes would be fulfilled. So Chaitanya Das and his wife rose early that morning and quickly proceeded on towards Neelachal, Jagannath Puri. And when they arrived there, they came quickly to the outside of the temple of Lord Jagannath. And there, as if by divine arrangement, they saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming out of the Jagannath Mandir just as they were coming up. And the Lord looked like a proud lion, the way he walked. His gait was like an elephant. He was so beautiful and so strong. And all of his followers were coming behind. And Chaitanya Das, when he saw the Lord, he became completely struck with wonder and he bowed down with his wife and offered his obeisances to the Lord. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rose him up and embraced him and was so pleased to see him. And all the Vaishnavas wondered, why is the Lord giving so much attention to this humble Brahmana? And then the Lord told him, go and see Lord Jagannath, and all your desires will be fulfilled. So then the devotees thought, what is the desire in the heart of this man? Why this Brahman has come? Why is the Lord so specially eager to see him? And what is his desire that will be fulfilled? So they asked this question to Govindadas, who is the personal servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is this? And Govindadas said, I don't know. I've never seen this Brahman before. But I'm confident that the Lord in time will reveal the inner meaning of what is taking place. So then Chaitanya Das went and took darshan of Lord Jagannath and prayed to him and received the full blessings of Lord Jagannath. And then he was brought by the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Gambira, where the Lord resided in Puri. And while he was there, the Lord showed so much affection to this Brahmana and encouraged him in so many ways and blessed him so completely, and then told him, now go quickly back to Navadvipa. So the devotees were wondering, what is the mystery behind this? And finally the Lord himself revealed it. And he said that this devotee Chaitanya Das has come here with a desire to have a son. And he shall surely have a son, and his son will be an immersed exalted personality. And he praised Srinivasacharya up and down what would be the activities that he would perform. And he told them that he will personify all my qualities. Srinivasacharya will have all these qualities. So he should leave immediately and return to Navadvip Dham and wait for the arrival of his son. So then Chaitanya Das, crying as he left, feeling very, very unfortunate that he had to leave the association of the Lord and his devotees, he followed the order of Mahaprabhu and he returned to Navadvip along with his wife. And in due course of time, a son was born to him. And this boy, as we were hearing about Narottam Das yesterday, was also, of course, an exalted eternal associate of the Lord. Just as we hear that Krishna's pastimes go on from one universe to another universe to another universe, and simultaneously take place in Goloka Vrindavan, in the transcendental sphere, they take place in Goloka Vrindavan and simultaneously in Gokul. Here on this planet, the next planet, the next planet, like a roadshow, like a parikrama, going one, on and on and on. So in the same way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes eternally are enacted here, and they're also enacted in Svetadvipa, which is also sometimes, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, that Svetadvipa is another name for Goloka, Vrindavan, and Navadvipa. So in those pastimes, Srinivasacharya's pastimes also are eternal. He comes and performs this pastime here on this plane, in one place after another, as Mahaprabhu's Leela is enacted. And Srinivas appears just at the time of Mahaprabhu, but just at the last point. So Srinivasacharya was very gentle, very beautiful, very humble, very learned, very sweet, and loved by all the people in Chakandi, which was the village in which he was living. But after some time, his father passed away, and he moved back to the village of his mother's father, Jajigram. And he lived in Jajigram for most of his actual pastimes. Later on in his life also, his center was Jajigram. So then he was staying there for some time, and when he was a young man, he was very, very popular with all the residents. They didn't feel happy in a day if they didn't see Srinivas, if he didn't visit their home, and they all saw him. So he came one time to his mother and said, I have a very strong desire to take the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Please bless me for this. So his mother, of course, was very sorry that her son would leave, but she blessed him and she told him, you also should go and get the blessings of the Srikandavasis, because Jajigram was not far from Srikanda. And the devotees of Srikanda were very famous. The most famous of them all was Narahari Sakha, who was one of the very, very close associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We sing in the evening artic that Narahari Chamara Dulaya, he's waving the chamara. And we also find out about Narahari Sakha that he was the only person who Mahaprabhu would allow him to sing his glories in kirtan, in his presence. No one else was allowed to do that. Anyone else even said anything, he'd block his ears. But Narahari Sakha was so dear to the Lord that he could do like this. And I do believe that he was Madhumati, a very close associate of Srimati Radharani in Braj Leela. So Narahari Saka and Raghunandan, who was his nephew, were there in Srikhanda. So he went there, Srinivas, to seek the blessings of these exalted personalities. And they gave him their blessings, but they told him, go very quickly. Quickly now, leave for Puri. Don't delay any further. Go and take the darshan, because Narahari warned him, Advaita Acharya has sent a poem to Mahaprabhu. And it's a very mysterious poem. But we all think that this poem indicates that soon Mahaprabhu's Leela will finish. So don't waste any time. So Srinivas set off immediately. And it's described that as he was going, sometimes he was running. He was going so fast. And he was wishing that he had wings so he could fly to Nilacha. And going swiftly, 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 he was heading towards Jagannath Puri. Sometimes he would walk for two, 3 days without even taking rest. So one night he was sleeping. And in the dream, as he was going along on the path, he met some pilgrims. They were constantly coming from Jagannath Puri. And he would ask them, how is Mahaprabhu? What is happening? How are his Leela? What is he doing? Because they are returning from Jagannath Puri. And one day, as he was passing on the road very quickly, he met some pilgrims coming from Jagannath Puri. And he noticed that they were overwhelmed with tremendous anxiety and suffering. And when he asked them, how is Chaitanya, what are his pastimes? They had the horrible job of informing this young boy who was on his way to take his darshan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had just finished his pastimes and left this world. So when Srinivasacharya heard this, he was so overwhelmed. He couldn't believe this information. And he was so devotional. He'd heard throughout his life from his father Chaitanya Das about this hair-cutting ceremony and about Mahaprabhu and how his father had met him. And he wanted so badly to meet Mahaprabhu, and now he had gone. So Srinivas, he fell down on the ground as if his whole life was ended. And it tells in Bhakti Ratnakar that he was ripping his hair from his head in his anguish, and with his nails he was scratching at his chest and breaking the skin on his chest in anguish of separation, just thinking that he had missed out on Mahaprabhu's darshan. And in that way, thinking that in the morning I will just enter a fire, I will make a fire and kill myself, he somehow or other passed through the night crying and crying and crying. And in the early morning he dozed, and at that time Mahaprabhu came to him in a dream and told him, don't be unhappy. I am with you. I want you to come to Jagannath Puri. Proceed on towards Jagannath Puri. There is one very dear associate of mine, Sri Gadadhar Pandit, and he is staying, waiting only for you. Don't give up hope. I am with you. And then the Lord disappeared. And when Srinivasacharya woke up, for a moment he was happy, and then he was plunged into separation again. And then the Lord again appeared to him to encourage him further. Don't be unhappy. I am with you. I am with you. So Srinivas somehow or other composed himself. And he proceeded on towards Jagannath Puri, but with a very heavy heart. When he arrived at Jagannath Puri, he took his darshan of Narendra Sarovar and took his bath there. Then he came to the Jagannath temple. And waiting outside the temple, again, he had as if a vision where he saw Mahaprabhu and all his associates coming out of the temple, just as his father had seen. And he thought, what is this? And the next minute he looked, and that was gone. And he saw only that all the associates of Mahaprabhu were dying in anguish of painful separation. So then he met different Vaishnavas, and they took him to Tota Gopinath temple, which was the residence place of Gadadhar Pandit, and take care of him. And again, the Goswamis tell to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Jiva that the pain of this boy is indescribable. So you take care of him. So Srinivas, again, he's coming towards Govindaji Mandir, and when he gets to the temple, he takes darshan of Govindaji and he faints. And he's lying practically lifeless at the back of the kirtan. So the evening artic is going on, and Jiva Goswami comes there searching, where is my Srinivas? Where is Srinivas? And when the crowd thins, he sees this beautiful golden complexioned, effulgent, but completely haggard boy lying at the back of the temple, and he knows this is Srinivas. So he goes there and he wakes him, picks him up and holds him in his arms and embraces him, and crying, he takes Srinivas with him back to Radha Damodar temple. And there Srinivas for the first time feels some happiness, because now he's in the care of Sri Jiva Goswami. And day by day his happiness grows, realizing that, oh, I'm in Sri Vrindavan Dham. And he begins his studies. He also takes his initiation from Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And he lives with Jiva Goswami at Radha Damodar. And very quickly he becomes so advanced in the study of all the Goswami literatures that Jiva Goswami and the other Vaishnavas give him the name of Acharya. And sometimes they'll ask him to explain special verses. And Jiva Goswami will not give any explanation and ask him, what is your understanding of this verse? And the boy, from his own feeling and heart, will give beautiful explanations of the moods of Sri Rupa Goswami and the other Goswamis in their writings. So after some time, Srinivas is feeling some relief. But as we were hearing yesterday, he is thinking one day, where is Narottam? And while thinking like this, where is Narottam? Within a day or so, Narottam Das Thakur appears in Vrindavan. And when Srinivas and Narottam meet, their joy knows no bounds. And it is as if they have been eternally together, and somehow they have been momentarily separated. And when they embrace each other, it's impossible for either of them to give up the embrace. And then Srinivas remembers the prediction of Sita Thakurani when she told him that soon someone will come who will take away all of this sadness that you're feeling of separation. So then Srinivas and Narottam are inseparable, and they go everywhere together, and everyone who sees them becomes happy, and they remember Mahaprabhu, and they feel some great consolation in their presence. And then, as we were describing also yesterday, after some time, Jiva Goswami requested them to take the Goswami literatures back to Bengal. And it describes in Bhakti Ratnakar how some Mathura Vasis, they made carts, and they wrapped the literatures very carefully, all the writings of Rupa Sanatan and the other Jiva Goswami's writings also, everything he had written. He placed them all in wooden crates, and they sealed them, placed them on these carts, and the carts were given into the care of Srinivas, Shyamananda and Narottam. And it's said that on the night that Srinivasacharya was to leave Vrindavan, he went around to see every Vaishnava in Vrindavan, and you can imagine now how much separation he's feeling again, because he knew that he would not see many of them ever again, because they would leave. Raghunath Das, there's another one, Kanai, Boro Kanai, so many different devotees that are there, they only keeping their life waiting for death, waiting to leave this world. So Srinivas goes around and gets the blessings of all of these acharyas, gets the blessings of all the deities, gets the blessings of Sri Jiva Goswami, thoroughly blessed. But still he's thinking, when he's leaving Vrindavan, he's crying in the night. And he's saying to himself, will I ever get an opportunity to be with my Guru again in the way I have been in this time? Will I ever get an opportunity to see Radha Govinda again? Will I ever get an opportunity to see these personalities again? Why am I leaving? By leaving, I don't know when, ever again, I'll be able to return to Vrindavan. So leaving Vrindavan, he is in a heavy state of mind. And during that night, Radha Govinda appeared to him and also encourage him and give him so much assurance and blessings. But still, it's interesting to note that it doesn't relieve his feeling of separation at all. Even after they've assured him of everything, he still feels so heavy-hearted. But on the order of Jiva Goswami, they start off, and they walk from Vrindavan, and all the Vaishnavas, seeing them go, they also feel that their life is ending. Because Srinivas and Narottam and Shyamananda are their life, because they're so young and they're so enthusiastic and they're so elevated souls. So when they're leaving, the Vaishnavas in Vrindavan feel that the sun is setting for them. And Jiva and walks with them all the way to Mathura. But finally he also breaks down, because he can't go any further. He goes the furthest, but then he also has to stop. and they have to separate from him. So Narahari Chakravarti, who's writing Bhakti Ratnakar, he says that it's indescribable, it's impossible to describe the intensity of the mood of separation at that time, when they were parting and returning to Bengal. But somehow or other, on the order of Jiva, they separate, and Jiva Goswami himself is overwhelmed with separation and returns to Vrindavan. Then as they're proceeding on, when they come to Bengal, they enter into the kingdom of one king who's famous because he's actually a dacoit. And he keeps in his kingdom some astrologers who are able to tell him things by astrology, such as if anybody comes, how much money they have. And then by this system, he knows how to loot them and steal their money and plunder them. So his astrologer tells this king, he says, you know, there's somebody coming, they have a cart, and these men have an invaluable treasure in this cart, on this cart. It's priceless. It's beyond any calculation of money. You can't imagine the value of what they're carrying. So the king becomes very enthused and he thinks, I must have this. So he arranges with his dacoits so that one night when they're in his kingdom and sleeping, they steal the cart, steal the books, and when Srinivas, Narottam and Shyamananda wake up in the morning, they're so much upset. According to Bhakti Ratnakar, they were carrying the only copy of these books. Other commentators say that they were not the originals. They were copies. But according to Bhakti Ratnakar, they were the originals of Rupa Goswami's writing. So they all prepared to kill themselves. They've failed in this way, there's no hope. And then somebody gives some hint of a clue that actually the king had something to do with this. So Srinivas decides that Shyamananda and Narottam should proceed on and he'll wait and resolve this with the king. So then by different means, the king ends up becoming a great Vaishnava. His name is Veera Hamvir. And he becomes an initiated disciple of Srinivasacharya. And Srinivasacharya also marries his daughter. And Srinivasacharya often visits Van Vishnupur, the place of this king, King Veera. And the king, it's said that when he saw the writing of Rupa Goswami, which is described as being like a row of pearls, when he saw that writing, bhakti arose in his heart, just from seeing the handwriting of Srila Rupa Goswami. So then Srinivas returns to Bengal, and in Jajigram he sets up an ashram, and he has many, many disciples, because he is meant to propagate the Goswami literatures at a time when all of these great acharyas are leaving, and everything is becoming depleted. He is meant to be the next link to continue Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he becomes very, very famous, and he gives discourses everywhere on the different Goswami literatures. And time to time he returns to Vrindavan and constantly feels separation, longing for the association of Narottam Das or Ramachandra Kaviraj. And sometimes they travel together and sometimes they're separate. Sometimes Jiva Goswami will send a letter or a new publication to Srinivas from Vrindavan via Ramachandra or somebody who is coming. And in this way, there is a constant flow of association all around Gaur Mandala and also Braj Mandala. So in this way we see is the life of Vaishnavism, that it is based on Sadhu Sangha, that by proper association with each other, by proper association means are centered around making advancement in one's own realization of what is my relationship with Krishna. What is the goal of my life? The goal of my life should be to get the darshan of Krishna in this life. Not to become famous, not to become very busy, not to become this thing, that thing. Those things will be there. No doubt they will be there. But this is not the goal. This is not the essence. Sarva Dharma Sar. This is called Sarva Dharma Sar. The essence of all duties, of all dharma, is simply somehow or other to get the darshan of Krishna. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also spoke like this. And he said that if someone were to see, to get the darshan of Krishna, everything would become clear. In one moment, everything finished. All problems gone. All duties taken care of. everything would be successful if we could get this. So we sometimes, in the course of our day-to-day events, or mostly, at least I can speak for myself, I completely lose track of this. And I think that the goal of my life is to get something done, to buy something, to write some letters, to do something or another, to get some service finished with or started. The small events seem to become so big. And this absolute goal seems to be lost amidst all of these day-by-day small things that have to be accomplished. But real sadhu sangha, real association with each other, with Vaishnavas, means to remind one constantly, no, go deeper, don't be superficial. Don't just remain on the external plane of your activities. Go deep within your own heart and try to understand how I can get the service of Krishna in reality. Now we are serving. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes our present activities. If they are actually directed towards Krishna now, they fall in the category of archan. That means that we're being directed by Guru with our present senses how to serve. But this is not our swarup, our eternal identity. And these activities are not our eternal activities. Those things are not clear to us right now. So we have to continue with our archan, our worshipable activities. Those things should not stop, but we should not be satisfied with that. We should feel the superficiality of what we're doing. We shouldn't have to have somebody say it to us. We should feel it in our own heart. And we should be wanting to go deeper and deeper and deeper. Because there's another plane on which bhakti is enacted. And we are not touching that plane very often. Sometimes we feel it, we perceive it in kirtan or in some pravachan, or somehow we feel something, an awakening in the heart. But most of the time we go on the mental, intellectual platform, just going, going, going. What, I should do this now, I should do that now, I have to work out with my family, I have to get something to eat now, I'm tired, I have to sleep now. Most of the time we go like that, thinking in conjunction with the body. But what we want, our goal is not that. It's something so far beyond that. And only someone who's had a perception of that other dimension that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur calls the fourth dimension. There is a three-dimensional world and there's another dimension. Srila Prabhupada gave us simpler terms. We call it material life and spiritual. But we tend to use the word spiritual life to be a very general thing. So the concept of another dimension is intriguing, because it helps us to understand that there's something beyond our grasp, beyond our comprehension right now. There's another plane, and that is where we're meant to be directing ourselves, by our prayers and by our aspirations. So by hearing of the lives of these exalted personalities and how advanced they were and how they had such exclusive activities simply directed towards the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or towards Radha and Krishna, it inspires us to think it would be wonderful. I can't imagine such a thing. My life is quite dreary. But it would be amazing to have some kind of a perception of what these acharyas perceived. And that's the beginning. But everything they perceived is perceivable by us. We should know that. They are not different than us. Only difference between them and us is that they are in their realized state and we are covered in a condition of ignorance. But potentially there's no difference between them and ourselves. The difference is a difference of plane, but we also belong on that plane. So by hearing, by praying, by chanting, we can ask these great personalities, please, you have to help me. Ami boro dukhi. I am so unhappy. Normally, when we don't hear of these great examples, we think, I'm all right. Life's going on. I'm doing all right. I have enough money. I'm getting enough to eat. I have a room. I'm fine. I haven't got any problems. So somehow or other, Krishna tries to shake us. Jeev jago, jeev jago, wake up. You're not all right. So sometimes you can be sitting right in your room and the roof can fall on your head. I have a life story here. This is real. The roof can fall down and it could kill you. You're taking shelter of the convenience of a room. You don't expect that to happen. And 1 minute, you walk this way, you're planning to sit here, but you say, oh, I've just got to get something. You walk over there, you were supposed to be there, and the roof falls down, a huge slab of cement, smack, right where you would be sitting. And we think, oh, that's amazing. How amazing. We could have been sitting there, but for 1 second, we survived. Safely in our room. Not out on the road, hit by a bus. Not at a battlefield, shot with a bullet. Or you go to the bathroom. Everyone knows this story also. How stark. How horrible. We can see death can come at any moment. Was anyone thinking when they stood up to go over there instead of sitting there? Was anyone thinking as they're walking down the street absent-mindedly, the mind wandering wherever it wants, going to the bathroom, going to get something to eat? Are we thinking? We're completely unconscious. And we're thinking absent-mindedly of all sorts of things. But death can come just like that. And these examples are given to us to see. So they shake us and we feel some shock. And they help us to realize for a moment that we have to become very, very deep and very, very focused in our realization of what Krishna consciousness actually is. And when we see, if we listen carefully and we hear these things, they should evoke in our mind a feeling that, my gosh, I can't do that. I don't have any realization like that. My condition is nothing like that. How could I ever feel like that? And then we're in the suitable mood to go over here and say, Ami Boro Dukhi. I'm so unhappy. I have nothing. All of these incidences that are occurring around me are leading me to understand that my Krishna consciousness realizations are shallow and I can't do anything about it. I don't know where to turn. I don't know where to get any more assets to increase my realization. So please, please, you have to help me. And Narottam Das Thakur is so clever. He says, Patita Pavan Hetu Tava Avaka Avata Mosamo Patita Prabhu Na Payireya. You won't find anyone more stupid than me. So if you're thinking you're stupid, you're in the right state of mind to say to Lord Chaitanya, you came to save stupid people. Here's one here. Please give some mercy. Mercy means I don't deserve it. I'm admitting I'm completely lost. Please give some mercy here. And Mahaprabhu must give. He must give. He's come to do this. This is his Tava avatar. You've come, descended to give this. So we must have confidence in these exalted Vaishnava saints. And we must have confidence in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya. We must hear their pastimes, talk about them, make them reality for ourselves. Not just stories we listen to sometimes, but they become three-dimensional, real personalities in our lives. And we think of them naturally. This is what we have to do. And this is done in Sadhu Sangha, Association of Devotees. And we have to become those devotees. And we have to become able to give that association. Not only say, where is it? I need that kind of association. I can't find association like that. So many times devotees come to me and they say, in my temple there's no good association. There's no advanced devotees. I want to stay in Vrindavan. There's so many nice devotees here. But when I go back, there's nobody I can trust. I don't like the devotees where I live anyway. You know, they all have problems and they can't help me. And then you think, well, there's nothing. There's nobody there. There's no one you can appreciate. There's no good qualities in any of the devotees. And you can't give anything to them. No, 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 no. I've just come here. I just want to. And this is actually not the mentality to have. But the mentality that we should have is to appreciate whatever spark we can see of good qualities in any devotees. And then we'll always find that somehow we'll find ourselves feeling that we have association. But if we're looking always, no, this association's not good enough, they don't help me enough, I don't feel satisfied with that. Even up to the uttam category, you won't be satisfied. Because it's turned around in the wrong way. Everything's turning to face you as the center, your peace of mind, your Krishna consciousness. It's not like that. We have to try to see that I want to become a servant of these personalities. I can serve them by hearing about them. I can serve them by chanting their names. I can serve them by serving the other devotees. And if we can cultivate this mood, we'll find good association everywhere. So before we leave, Uttam Bhakta, if you can sing in the dark, and if you can follow in the dark, I would like to that we could sing Jai Anilo Prema Dana. So this is such an incredibly intense song. There's no song... It's not in the songbook? There's no song heavier than this song. Narottam Das Thakur is saying, Pasane Kutibo Mata, I will smash my head against a rock. Anale Pasibo, I will enter into a fire. Imagine how you would feel. None of us can conceive of such a mood of separation. Where has the Lord gone? Where has this devotee gone? Kaha mora swarup rupa. Kaha means where. Where are they? Mora, my. Where is my swarup rupa? Where are they? Kaha sanatan. Kaha bata dasa raghunath patita pavan. He's calling, crying. This is the mood of Srinivasacharya. And it is sometimes told that this was the last song that Narottam Das Thakur wrote. And he wrote it after Ramachandra Kaviraj left this world. And Narottam Das did not want to live anymore in the absence of Ramachandra. And he gave up his own life. Narottam Das Thakur asked his disciples to take him to the Ganga. He entered the Ganga. He asked them to pour water and give him Abhishek of Ganga water. And according to the commentators, they say that his body became like milk and entered into the Ganga. And this was how he finished his earthly pastimes, Narottam Das Thakur. And this song of separation is in the mood of Srinivasacharya, but it was also the mood of Narottam Das Thakur in separation from Ramachandra Kaviraj. So these are all great viraha bhaktas, bhaktas, devotees in the mood of separation. So we have the good fortune to be sitting here in their presence. Because where the samadhi is, the presence of that personality is also there. They are present here. So while we're singing, if we can get even a... they can touch our hearts slightly, we'll be very, very fortunate. So we should know that they will also be listening. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that you come to a place not to, for us to take darshan of them. That would be sense gratification, he says. Very strict definition. He says we come to be seen by them. So we have come here to be seen by Srinivas Acharya and to be seen by Ramachandra, and certainly Narottam Das Thakur must also be here in their company, and Shyamananda Prabhu also, because they were inseparable Vaishnava associates. So we've come praying that they may see us and they may bless us with some particle of bhakti within our hearts. So can you sing Uttam Bhakta or not?
Jaya Anila Prema Dana Korona Prachur Jaya Anila Anila Prema Dana Karuna Prachur Anila Prema Dana Prabhu Kota gela char jothaku Hana pravo kota gela char Hana pravo kota gela Jotaku Hana Prabhu Kota Gela Jotaku
पाहा सनाता कामरा स्वरूप रूप कहा सनाता कहा दशा रघुनाथ पति तो पावन कादास रघुनाथ रघुनाथ पति तो पावन कहा दास रघुनाथ कहा मरा भट्ट जुग कहा कबीरा कामरा कामरा भट्ट जुग कहा कबीरा कामरा ए तो काले कोथा गेला गोरा नटोरा एतो काले कोथा गेला गोरा एतो काले कोथा गेला गोरा नटोरा एतो काले कोथा गेला पासाने कोटेव माता अनाले पशिव पासन कोठी पासन कोठिव माता अनाले पशिव पासन को गौरांग गु निधि कोता गेले पाव गौरांग गो निधि गौरांग गु निधि कोता गेले पाव गौरांग गो नेरानी Sava Sange Ra Sange Je Koila Vela Se Sava Sange Ra Sange Je Koila Vela Sava Sange Ra Sange Je Koila Vela Se Sangana Paya kande narottamadas se sangana paya kande se sangana paya kande narottamada se sangana paya jaya vaishnava thakur jaya vaishnava thakur Vaishnav Thakur Jaya Vaishnav Thakur Jaya Jaya Vaishnav Thakur Vaishnav Thakur Vaishnav Thakur Jaya Vaishnav Thakur Jaya Jaya Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Gauranitai Gauranitai Gaurani tai jaya Gaurani tai jaya Gaurani tai Gaurani tai Gaurani tai Gaurani tai jaya Gaurani tai Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Radha Shyam Sundara Radha Shyam Sundara Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Govinda Radha Govinda Radha Jaya Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radha Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Madan Mohan Radha Madan Mohan Radha Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Jaya Radha Jaya Radha সীতায় গৌড়ারিবা